We're turning this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 26. Now, I'd like for you to listen very carefully to every word that I read in this text, Acts 13, 26. The title of this message is, "To You is the Word of This Salvation Sent." To you is the Word of This Salvation Sent. Now, listen to each word of the text. Paul is speaking, and he says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." Now, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel first of all to the Jews. We know that from Scripture, that they went to the Jews, they went to the synagogue, they went to the temple, they preached the gospel to the seed of Abraham. This is what the Scripture says. Our Lord said to His disciples, "You shall be witnesses unto Me in Jerusalem first, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And then Paul himself wrote in Romans 1, verse 16, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." In other words, when these men went out to preach, they preached the gospel, first of all, to the Jew. But the Jewish leaders and the people blasphemed and refused the gospel of Christ. If you look down a little further in Acts 13, just a little bit further along in verse 45, it describes their attitude and their reaction to this gospel of Christ. It says, "The Jews spoke against the gospel preached by Paul. They contradicted Paul and they blasphemed." Now, the gospel was preached to them first, but they refused the gospel. They contradicted Paul, and they blasphemed his gospel. Therefore, Paul waxed bold, and he declared in verse 36, he said, "It was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken first to you," that is, to Abraham's seed, to the Jew, "but seeing that you put it from you, seeing that you're not interested, I turn to the Gentiles. Now, what a glorious day that was for you, and what a glorious day that was for me. God's choice servant, the Apostle Paul, turns to us, and he says the same thing that he had said previously to these Jews. He says, "To you is the word of this salvation sent." But now there's a warning, there's a word of warning that goes along with it. He said, "See that you not neglect and refuse this message. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken to us by our Lord and was confirmed by them that heard it, like the children of Abraham? If we neglect this gospel and refuse this gospel, we may someday find this glorious gospel taken away from us. Take heed, brethren." Paul, all the way through the book of Hebrews, we have this warning sounded. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, like in these Jewish leaders, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." But right now, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, I have about four or five things that I want to bring out in this message. I'd like just to pull my chair up and sit down and talk to you personally this morning. I want so much for you to listen carefully to this message. I want so much for you to hear it. I want so much for you to believe it and to receive it and be saved by this glorious gospel of God's sovereign and free grace. And this is the title, "To You," that's right, "To You, is this word of salvation sent." Now, I'm going to ask four questions. First of all, what is this word of salvation? What is this word of salvation? And then secondly, how is this word of salvation sent to you? How is it personally sent to you? And then the third question will be this: in what position does this place you? And then fourthly, how would you treat it? Now, let's look at these four things. First of all, Paul says, "To you is the word of this salvation sent." Now, what is this word that he's talking about, the word of this salvation? Well, first of all, it's the testimony of God that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Savior. That's the first thing about this word of salvation, that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Savior. John the Baptist pointed at Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The angels who announced his birth to Joseph said, "Mary will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he is the promised Savior. He shall save his people from their sins." This is the one of whom Isaiah wrote, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." And when the angels appeared to the shepherds on the Judean hillside, they said, "We bring you good news, glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." What I'm saying is this. This word of salvation declares, first of all, that Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of Mary and lived on this earth 33 and a half years and died on a cross, was buried and rose again, is the promised Messiah. He is the promised Savior. He is the promised Christ. The Father said that. If you read the 5th chapter of John, our Lord begins that exhortation this way. He said, "If I bear witness of myself, if I'm the only witness to my deity, if I'm the only witness to my office, then my witness is not true. Because the Scripture says, let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And if I'm the only witness," Christ said, "that you have to my office and to my deity and to my commission, then you don't have to believe me. But John bore witness of me, and the Father bore witness of me. He said, 'This is my beloved Son, hear ye him.' The works that I do bear witness of me." And he says, "The Scriptures which you hold in your hand and which you search daily, they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. John said, "This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. This is the true God, and this is eternal life." And then the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ is come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." What is the word of this salvation? The very first thing it declares is this: Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the Redeemer of his people. Jesus of Nazareth, of whom Simeon declared, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Jesus of Nazareth is our Savior. He's the announced one. He's the expected one. He is the anticipated one. He is the one who has come. Don't look for another. All right, here's the second thing about it now. To you is the word of this salvation sent. What is this word of salvation? Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Secondly, this word of salvation is the proclamation of a perfect redemption and a perfect salvation through his obedience and through his death. Now, that's what this word of salvation is. Romans 5:19 says this: "For by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so by the obedience of one," that's Christ, "shall many be made righteous." In Adam we die. In Christ we're made alive. Paul said in Galatians 4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There is in Christ a perfect righteousness, a perfect redemption, a completed salvation. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are totally complete in him. Nothing needs to be added. Christ has paid it all. All the debt we owed. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And John said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, my friend, forgiveness and redemption is not by works. It's not by law. It's not by human merit. It's by substitution, and that by the substitutionary work of Christ. He died for our sins. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:18, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or spot. What is this word of salvation? Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And he has completed all that the law requires, all that the justice of God demands, all that the sinner needs, and all that heaven requires of all who would live there. Christ fulfilled it all. All right, here's the third thing about it. This word of salvation is the promise of forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by his mercy he has saved us. And that becomes ours, not by labor, not by merit, not by works, but by faith. Now listen to the scripture. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When our Lord gathered his disciples around him before he ascended to the Father, he said, you go into all the world, and you preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And Paul wrote in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Paul wrote in Hebrews 7, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. The songwriter put it this way, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness that he requireth is to feel your need of him. What is this word of salvation? Three things. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer. Other foundation can no man lay. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ is the Messiah. And he has completed the work of redemption. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He left nothing undone. He left no sin unatoned for. He left no righteousness to be completed. God does not require you to produce a righteousness, but to receive one. He does not require you to produce a sanctification, but to receive one. He does not require you to produce a redemption, but to receive one. Christ finished the work. When he died on the cross, he cried so that it might be heard in heaven, earth, and hell. It is finished. And this promise is to you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Do you believe? Now that's the word of salvation. It's free. It's free to all who will believe. Now here's the second question. How is this gospel, this word of salvation, sent to you? How is it sent to you? Well, my friend, very simply, it's sent to you in that book that you hold in your hand right now, the Bible. That's the first way it's sent to you, that book which you have in your home, that book which unfortunately is neglected by so many people, that book which you have there on the coffee table or on the end table or there in your hand. That Bible, that book is not a book of history only. It's not a book of Proverbs. It's not a book to debate and to argue. That book is the book of redemption. That book is Christ. Christ is that book. If you'll start in Genesis 3:15 and read about the seed of woman and go all the way through to the book of Revelation 22 when John says, even so come, Lord Jesus, I'm saying that every prophet and every apostle and every evangelist and every writer gave witness to Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord one day talked to those religious leaders who were so diligent to search the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and argue the Scriptures and translate the Scriptures. He said, you search the Scriptures. You're busy diligently searching the Scriptures. For in them, in the Scriptures, you think you have life. But they are they which testify, bear witness of me. The Scriptures speak of Christ. That's what the Scriptures are all about. This word of salvation is sent to you in the Bible, in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the Old Testament, you have Christ in promise, Christ in prophecy, Christ in picture, Christ in symbol, Christ in type. In the New Testament, you have Christ in person. But Christ is the Bible. And if you haven't found Christ on every page of the Bible, you've read your Bible to no avail, because the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And not only is that the way the gospel is sent to you, but secondly, this word of salvation is sent to you in the gospel that I'm preaching to you right now. That's what I'm delivering to you, is the word of salvation. This is not a Baptist message. This is not my message. This is God's gospel. This is God's message. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And what do we preach? We preach Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. God didn't send me to baptize. He didn't send me to organize. He didn't send me to promote or to entertain. He sent me to preach the gospel. And even in Corinth, among the philosophers and educators and all of these arguers and debaters, Paul said, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the way the gospel sent to you, by preaching. Now listen to Romans 10. This is so important. Romans 10 declares, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's right. How is this gospel sent to you? It's sent to you in the Bible. And I would have you read the Word of God. I commend you, as Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, I commend you to the Word of God. I commend you to the Scriptures. I command you to read the Scriptures. I beg of you to read the Scriptures. But listen to faithful men who preach the Scriptures. Now, notice thirdly, how is this gospel sent to you, this Word of salvation? Paul said, to you it's sent. It's sent in the Bible. It's sent in the message that's preached to you. And then it's sent in this way, in a special way, in the special providence and favor of God that brought you to this hour and led you to this time to tune into this program and hear this message. My friends, I boldly declare unto you that this morning God is crossing your path, because I'm not preaching a doctrine only. I'm not preaching a denominational creed. I'm preaching Christ. And you're confronted this morning with the person of Jesus Christ. It's no accident that I'm preaching this message. And it's no accident that you tuned it in. It's an opportunity and a privilege and a responsibility that God has given you, and it's a special mercy of God toward you, because many people have never heard this message, that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ, through His obedience to the law, has imputed to us a perfect righteousness, that Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross, has satisfied God's justice and honored God's justice and given us a perfect redemption, that Jesus Christ was buried as our scapegoat and rose as our justifier and ascended to the right hand of God, where He is our only mediator and great high priest. And you are invited, yea, you are commanded, to kiss the Son, lest He be angry, to crown the Son, to receive the Son, to believe on the Son, to rest in the Son, to find peace in the Son of God. And that's a special mercy to you, because many people haven't heard it. That's right. Now, this word of salvation is sent in another way. It's sent in the Word. It's sent in the sermon. It's sent in this special providential way in which God has brought you to hear it today. Maybe you tuned in this program, you think, completely by accident. Maybe you didn't even intend to listen to this program. But by God's providence, you're hearing it. You're hearing it. And it's a special blessing. And then this word is sent to you in the fact that this gospel meets your need. You're a sinner. And this is a sinner's gospel. This is a sinner's gospel. Now, my friend, a medicine that suits your disease was evidently intended for you. And I'm saying this, if salvation comes by merit, you'd be left out because you don't have any merit by birth, by nature, by practice, or choice. You don't have any merit. I don't either. If salvation could be earned by works, you and I'd be left out because in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. But this word of salvation is for sinners, the chief of sinners, lost people, sons of Adam, needy creatures, helpless creatures, hopeless creatures, and it's free. It's free, come without money or price. It's free, God says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. He said again, for of God are you in Christ, who has made unto you all you need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's how this gospel comes to you, through the word, through a faithful preacher, through the providence of God by letting you hear it, and then, my friend, the fact that it meets your need. You're a sinner. You need mercy. You need grace. You need God. You need forgiveness. You need pardon, and there's no place to find it except in Christ. God Almighty will not receive a sinner except in Christ. You've got to have a suitable priest and a suitable sacrifice, a suitable sin offering. The holiness of God has got to be honored. The justice of God has got to be satisfied. Now, briefly, in what position does this place you? There's responsibility. There's a responsibility that comes with knowledge. Our Lord said to the town of Capernaum, he said, woe unto you, Capernaum. If the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained till this day. Bethsaida, I warn you, it's going to be more tolerable for the city of Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And my friends, by God's grace and good providence, you've heard the gospel of God's mercy. Now, what position does that place you? In what position? Well, it places you in a position of special favor. Special favor. Kings and princes and great men have died without ever hearing this good news. That's so. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God ordained before the world, which none of the leaders of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't hear it. They didn't know it. Our Lord said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes, you see. Blessed are your ears, you hear. And blessed are you to whom the gospel's been preached. Special favor, special kindness on the part of God. Many people have never heard this good news, never heard this glad tidings. Israel had a tabernacle. The Philistines didn't. The Egyptians didn't. The Amorites didn't. The Amalekites didn't. Israel had a priest and an atonement and a mercy seat. The Philistines didn't. You've heard the gospel. There are plenty of people out there this morning that have never heard it. It puts you in a position of hope, too, because God saves men by hearing the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of my truth, the voice of my gospel, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. Blessed is the man whom God chooseth and causeth to approach unto him. I tell you something else. In what position does this put you? It puts you in a position of serious responsibility. For if you neglect to hear this gospel, if you neglect to receive it, if you neglect to receive it and believe it, how shall you escape? That's what Paul said. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? How do men neglect this? Well, by refusing to hear it, or by confounding and confusing it with human wisdom, or by turning to something of less importance, or by moving away from where it's preached, or by hardening their hearts with pride and arrogance and a haughty spirit. They neglect it. They let it slip. They let it slip. In what position does this place you? My friend, it places you in a position of special favor. God's spoken to you today. God Almighty has brought you a gospel that effectually meets your need. A gospel, His gospel. He gave it. He ordained it. He executed it. He applied it. He sustains it. He will perfect it. He's pleased with it. My gospel, He calls it. My gospel. And it's sent to you with many proofs and witnesses, His word, the Lord Himself, His apostles, It's sent to you as a special favor in the providence of God. It's sent to you clearly, and I tell you, it places you under grave responsibility. Will you hear it? And that's my fourth question, my final question. How will you treat this good news? How will you treat this gospel that I've preached? First, I ask you this. Will you, like the religious Jews of old, contradict and blaspheme? We have the law of Moses, they said. We don't need Christ. We have our heritage in Abraham. We don't need Christ. We don't need the Son of God. We have these other things. Will you contradict and blaspheme? Or secondly, will you cry with the crowd, "We won't have this man reign over us. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus Christ." Or will you, like Felix, procrastinate and say, "Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. When I have a more opportune time, when I have a more convenient season, I'm going to take care of this matter." He never did. He never did hear Paul again. Or will you, fourthly, will you play the hypocrite? Many do. And like Simon Magus, make a profession of faith and walk down the aisle and be baptized while your heart is far from God and you're in the gall of bitterness. Or will you cry with those who fell at his feet, "My Lord and my God"? Or like the thief on the cross, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Or like the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what will you have to do?" Or like the publican in the temple, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." How will you respond? Respond you will, because Paul says we have a word for everybody. To those who are saved, life unto life. To those who are perished, death unto death. Who's sufficient for these things? May God give you the wisdom to lay hold on Christ.